And now, here's your host, Nick Lowry.
You know what? If there is an equivalent, a wild and crazy equivalent to Gary McCord, who with Peter Kostas runs that golf school, see, there's the genius, the wisdom. Don't worry about your golf swing. Just push the darn golf cart into the lake. Luke Jensen, how are you?
I don't know about push the golf cart. How about the transportation car by Lexus?
That's right. Well, hey, we want to thank Lexus for providing you to us for this week. We're not going to have a show tomorrow, but we're going to have a big show on Friday. But we've been covering Andy Roddick, we've been covering Rafael Nadal, and we've been covering the great Andre Agassi, but we've left out maybe the best player in the world, probably, in Roger Federer. What is his secret? Is he simply the master of the game, unlike anyone since Rod Laver?
He plays the game like a game of chess. He has so many different moves, and every shot has so many different variables. He can go with slice. He can go with topspin, hit it flat. He can go with the drop shot, the topspin lob, and he's comfortable with everything. Another thing that you'll really enjoy, mentally, he's always trying to probe his opponent and see what works and what doesn't work. He never stays with the same game plan, and he's so mentally tough.
And that, to me, is the difference between him and an Andy Roddick, and hopefully Jimmy Connors is bringing that sense of the right kind of aggressiveness and tactics to the game. But Roger Federer seems to be aware on air. He's sort of a Teddy Bruschi or a Tom Brady, you know, on the court. He's always thinking, always able to think independently, two or three strokes ahead.
It's ironic that you see these great players, Peyton Manning, these great, you know, whether they're tennis players, football players, basketball players, and they seem to see a different style of game, something that's ahead, a strategy, a tactic that they're trying to exploit, and they don't panic in situations. You see Roger Federer throw his racket and give away his hand or show any negative body language to his opponent. It's all positive. He's always looking to move forward.
And we've noticed this with Tiger Woods. Speaking of staying within yourself, Tiger, as controlled as he's been in his career, when he hits a great shot today, you'll see that he sort of still stays within himself. You know, he doesn't let out too much out of the bag, so he can stay within. He's tightly wound and yet relaxed at the same time, and he only lets it go in that final, you know, part of when he's actually won the tournament. Let's talk about what's going on there today and the chances of a Federer, Nadal, a Roddick. You thought that Roddick's going to get it done. What's happening there today?
Well, right now you got Lindsay Davenport, who's a player who's number one in the world, trying to get back on top. She's the number 10 seed here because of injuries, but she's playing the number one seed here. Justine Henin-Hardin, the Belgian player who won at the French Championships, finals at the French at the Australian Open. That's a good match. Right now, Tommy Haas is playing, the German who's looking to make his mark. Murat Safin's on court right now. There are a lot of good matches to watch. The Dow was up because of the rain yesterday. A lot of matches on right now.
And this guy, Nikolai Davydenko, seems to be regaining form. He had some potential maybe a year or two ago, but he seems to be regaining that as well with a victory over Andy Murray as well.
You look at Andy Murray, took on Brad Gilbert. He recently just beat Roger Federer in a warm-up tournament leading up to the U.S. Open in Cincinnati. He's a young guy that still is gaining in experience, letting things get to him mentally. The best players out here are the ones that are always looking to improve on the court, off the court, in the weight room, trying to improve their body and improve their mental game as well as their physical game. I see players practice on the court and then go right to the match court, so they're finely tuned to play for the big money.
Okay, we've done a disservice to the women's side of the game. We talk about Lindsay Davenport. Of course, Emily Mauresmo wins Wimbledon. She's poised to win a third Grand Slam. What about her is special? Do you think she's the odds-on favorite at this point to make it three in a row?
I think she's got a really good shot to do it. But to me, I like players like Sharapova, who's got a big weapon. I like players who have the ability to move forward into the court. And people who really want to do the Davenport, we talked about her, these are players that are looking to make their mark once again. When I see those types of players, I say, wow. I mean, they're practicing hard, and mentally they know that they're within just a few matches of bringing home the hardware.
Luke Jensen, as you look at tennis these days and the way that it's being promoted on USA Network and ESPN, do you think that they're doing everything they can to get the sport out there? Is there anything missing right now so people can appreciate what a fantastic sport it is?
I think first on TV, I wish we'd bring the cameras down closer to like the front row. I don't think you get a perspective of the speed of the court. Just like watching hockey, when you see hockey for the first time, TV doesn't do it justice. The power and the actual speed of how they check and how fast they skate on the ice. The same in pro football. Unless you've been on the sideline, you cannot hear the grunts and you cannot really feel the power. The better we get with high definition. Another thing to market the game, instead of Luke Jensen talking to you, we need Roger Federer talking to you. Like NASCAR, you can talk to those big drivers. They're pushing their sport. They're pushing their sponsors. I'm pushing my sponsor, Lexus. They're giving away a lot of money and free cars here at the U.S. Open. And the same thing with our top tennis players. If we want to get to know Roger Federer and Rafael Nadal, they've got to talk to you, man.
So it's sort of like the cam, what the cam has done in football, where they bring it and they swing it right behind the huddle during the game, so you feel. I like it because until the cam, people looked at the field goal attempt from behind the goalpost, and the lens would make it look like the goalpost were 100 feet wide. Now they see it from the kicker's point of view, and those things look like tweezers. What would happen if you had that camera right behind the player as well? Do you think that that's going to help people understand the kind of athleticism the tennis has?
You would see the speed of the wit and how these players move. You'd see the speed of Andy Roddick's 150-mile-an-hour serve coming almost in your face, kind of jumping you out of your seat. Because when you're trying to return his serve, your life is on the line. It's not just, you know, am I going to make the shot or not? He could actually physically take you out because he hits the ball that hard. That's what we have to show. Like, this game is not a country club game. 70% of the people play this game in the public parks, and it's a fun and cool game, and it's a fast game. And it can be, if we present it that way, people are going to turn on to it.
That's Luke Jensen from ESPN. When we come back, final thoughts from Luke on the U.S. Open, leading up to our special show with Luke and our friend Paul Smith on the U.S. Open picks in the men's and the women's. We'll be right back on Head Games Radio with the best, Luke Jensen. Welcome back to Head Games Radio. Final thoughts. You know, Luke Jensen, we haven't talked about James Blake. Here's a guy that had a broken neck, lost his father, played an incredible match against Andre Agassi last year, beat Rafael Nadal last year. Tell me about James Blake for a second. I feel a little remiss in not mentioning him.
Yeah, well, he's one of these guys that is really looking to push his game and his status to the next level. He's in the top 10 in the world for the first time. This is a guy who born right here in Yonkers, New York. He's got a big fan base, went to Harvard University, got a lot of smarts, but one of the big things, he's overcome tragedy both on and off the court, and he's better and he's bigger and faster than ever. The key is, once again, when you watch him play, he hits just as hard as anybody. He can run as fast as anybody, but mentally, he's just letting little things get to him. He'll hit a double fault, he'll go crazy for a couple of points. He'll get a bad call, he kind of drops down his intensity. You've got to be on point every single point of a 5-set, 4-hour match, and that's going to be the difference for him at the U.S. Open, staying on point.
Well, you're on point, my friend. It sounds like you picture Andy Roddick and Maria Sharapova. Looking forward to having you on Friday, my friend, when we get it done, have a little bit more time. But we want to thank you and thank your sponsor, Lexus, for giving us one of the best, most dynamic announcers in tennis, Luke Jensen. Thanks, my friend.
I love your forehand, man. Keep hitting that forehand.
Yeah, baby.